If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Roberts, and as always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Roberts. And here on the hump day edition of the yard, it's also birthday eve. And so I don't know how long we go, because I'm going to go to the movies with my Starkville kids, you know, the ones that still live here. I have four kids, as you guys know, four living children, but I'm going to go to them, with them to the movies. I think we're going to go see F1. I think that's what the plan is. I let them pick. I just want to be with them. You know what I mean? And the older they get, the busier they get. You know, everybody's got jobs. And, of course, Ian's got school. And, of course, Mia, my youngest daughter, will leave for Harvard Law at the end of the month. And so I got to get these opportunities in when I get them. So we'll get it going, and we'll get the show up. And then, you know, we'll go. You know, we'll figure it out. Probably run the article in the morning, so if you're listening to this based on the article, many of you like that embedded player, you'll be listening to this on Thursday. But we'll have it up Wednesday evening, but it's been a busy day. It's been a busy stretch. Let me think here for a second. What do you guys want to talk about? I don't know. Maybe Ace Reese? Yeah, we'll talk about that. Got a pretty lengthy what we're hearing over on jeanspage.com for VIP members. Just kind of framing things up. I'll do some of that with you guys today here too. Can't give it all away. But yeah, a great day for Mississippi State baseball. I spent some time last night with Brian O'Connor. Had a chance to kind of get some comments from him. If you're a Jeans Page VIP member, you can read everything he had to say about Ace Reese and about that situation. There's benefits in membership. Yeah. Also had a chance yesterday to talk to several of your current and future players. I spoke to Aiden Teal, center fielder from Virginia. We played against his older brother, Kyle Teal, in the 2021 College World Series. And Aiden Teal is among the most well-spoken college athletes that I have ever interviewed. Incredibly articulate. I think you're going to enjoy having him. He's a draft-eligible sophomore, so we'll have to kind of wait out the draft, but I understand his asking price is going to be pretty substantial, you know. So we'll see how that goes, but you can read that for free over at jeanspage.com. It's also on my socials and distributed out on our Facebook page. Give us a like, you know. Go check us out. You'll be glad you did. But, yeah, a lot going on. Also interviewed Parker Rhodes, one of our freshman signees that will be making a move to Starkville this weekend. And he tells me he's spending as much time with his girlfriend as he possibly can and his family before he makes the move from Greenfield, Indiana to Starkville, Mississippi. I've enjoyed doing those interviews. I mean, like, that's a thing, too. Like, you get, you know, and I love our current players. Don't get me wrong. But as you get towards the end of a challenging season at times, you know, you can tell they're kind of getting tired of doing media. And when you speak to these young guys that are coming in, you know, they're just full of exuberance. You know, they're excited to talk because it's all going to be brand new for them. And I share that with you just because it's really the same thing like with college football recruiting. When we get into December, so many of those guys have done so many interviews with you know, multiple networks and their local media. They're just so ready for all that to be over. And then you call one of those juniors that just got their first couple of offers, and it's like you're reborn yourself. I don't know how many phone calls I've got left in me to high school kids, to be honest with you. I've been doing this for almost 30 years now. And I do enjoy – covering recruiting. I do. I do enjoy the team stuff a lot too. And that was one of those things in the beginning. You know, I was just kind of a feature writer and then got into covering recruiting. I was just a recruiting guy for a while, and that was great when I worked with Scout.com and Fox Sports. But I enjoy watching these young people as recruits come here, achieve something of note, both athletically and academically. This weekend, our buddy Bryce Chance is going to get married. Our friend Stone Simmons got married last weekend. You know, and so to see them come here as young people and mature into young adults, get their college degree, do some amazing things on the baseball diamond or the football field or the basketball court, and then to see them kind of take those first steps into adulthood, it's very rewarding to see. I know many of you share that same thing, and that's one of the things about the transfer portal I think we've lost a little bit, you know, the ability to kind of follow a young person's career all throughout their college days and spend them at one place. It just doesn't happen that often. But it happens a little more often in baseball than maybe perhaps football. But, you know, we've had some cool things in basketball. It's like Cam Matthews. I mean, like, I think it's one of the things that makes Cam Matthews so beloved, right, is he played in the infancy of the transfer portal and never really thought about going anywhere else because he loved all of you. He loved Mississippi State. And he is a guy that will be able to come back to Humphrey Coliseum at any point in his life and get a standing ovation because of how hard he played for the Bulldogs. And I think in some respects we've kind of lost some of that in college athletes. And it makes you appreciate guys like him even more. Now, the other side of the coin, too, is we've had some pretty cool guys join us from the transfer portal, too. I mean, like you think about Noah Sullivan, right? A fan favorite. Everybody knows Sully. You know, he was at USC Upstate. And we'll be back next year, provided he doesn't get drafted high enough to go. You know, that's a decision he'll have to make. Spoke to him yesterday, too. That was a free article, too. Interviewed Bryce Chance, Aiden Teal, Evan Sieri, Noah Sullivan. And you can read their comments about Coach Brian O'Connor and his staff, their expectations for next season. You know, that was a fun story to write, too. A lengthy story. But a fun one to write. Kind of worked on it pretty much most of the day. Got it wrapped up before I went to go meet with O'Connor. And that's the second sit-down he and I have had in as many, I guess, about 3 weeks. And look forward to the next one, you know. I think part of that, too, is letting you guys kind of get to know him, too. It's not just me building a relationship with him. It's him building a relationship with you. And you get to see really what he's about. And I think the fact that this Ace Reese thing worked out so favorably for Mississippi State says a lot about this staff and a lot about Ace Reese. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. They know how to feed folks, and that's why you go in there, right? Maybe you want an adult beverage. Maybe you're going to hang out at the bar. That's cool, right? I go there because I enjoy eating. I don't just eat for survival or sustenance, I eat for enjoyment. You can eat almost anything, but why not eat something that is delicious, that brings joy to your life? And that's what happens when you go to Bulldog Burger Company. Have those spring rolls as your appetizer. Make them a regular part of your beauty care regimen because they will make you and everybody around you better looking. We need to make the world a more beautiful place. Eat more spring rolls. And then find a great restaurant quality hamburger. Work through that extensive menu. Find your own favorites, whether it's the Bryant, the Smokehouse, the Freshman 15. That's a classic. Been on the Bulldog Burger menu since the beginning. And then get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Again, three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. And you never know, Bulldog Burger Company may be coming to your town. So if you're on the way to our town or you're in our town, go put your feet under the table at Bulldog Burger Company and let their incredible staff satisfy you with a great dining experience. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, confession time. I woke up yesterday morning expecting Ace Reese to go in the portal. I did, and that's based on multiple conversations. And this was a real thing. Like, I've seen some people out there that have tried to suggest that there was not a lot of substance to all of this. And that is basically an admission of poor sourcing. Because I can tell you, everybody that covers Mississippi State baseball can tell you with confidence, and I include my competitors and all that, this was a real thing. This was very much a real thing. And a lot of people are like, oh, nothing ever happened. Guys, this was very much a concern in a situation that had to be addressed. It was successfully for Mississippi State. But I would say around mid-morning yesterday, the word kind of began to circulate behind the scenes. This is going to work out favorably for Mississippi State. And so we're just kind of sitting around waiting on the thumbs up. I couldn't wait for you guys to know. I wanted to know for sure myself, even though I believed the people that were telling me this. But until you know it, you don't really know it, right? I mean, how many times have we gone through these situations before where you think you got a good handle on things, and then all of a sudden you find out maybe your sourcing wasn't correct. And that's happened. I remember, especially early in my career, you didn't know who to trust. About 30 years into this thing, I've established a pretty good network of sources. I don't get them all right. The Davian Higson thing, I'll be honest with you. I just could never get good sourcing on that one. I knew that he was in the mix. I knew that we were in the mix with him. I even spoke to Jose Cruz Jr., but just never could really get it dialed in. And that's how that happens sometimes. I mean, there's so many names and so many recruitments that you have to follow, and sometimes you're just not going to get a good read on stuff. That's just part of the deal, And then on the other side of it, it's like the Loy stuff out of Tennessee. There's a lot of reports about him. And I had pretty good sourcing on that and found out, hey, this is not a real thing. And so that's just kind of part of how things work in our profession. But talking to multiple sources, people that always seem to know, nobody really knew for sure what was going to happen with Ace Reese. And I'm not sure that Ace Reese knew for certain what was going to happen with Ace Reese. Mississippi State coaches went to Cary, North Carolina earlier this week, spent some time with Ace, his family. And since that time, things have kind of, gone the right direction. Portal's now closed. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was, one of the first things that I do the day after the portal closes is I reach out to people on campus to find out, were there any late stragglers? And there were this time. Jacob Pruitt, pitcher, went into the portal last minute. But it seems every time, there's always somebody that sneaks under the fence the last minute. And so I'm always cognizant of that. So I reached out this morning, and it took me a while to get somebody to give me some confirmation, about if we had any late stragglers. And I'll be honest with you, the longer that it went, the more that I began to get concerned. It's like, I know what we found out yesterday about Ace, but I would love to know that there was nobody else besides Pruitt that went in. And so it took a while. And the longer that it went, and I didn't even share it in my little work group text, but I began to kind of think about that. I was like, what if everybody is slow to respond? Because what if Ace did go in at the last minute? What if he had a change of heart and went in? There's still the possibility he could return. And that was some of the chatter. What's today? Wednesday? I guess back on Monday is that, he's going to go in the portal, but there's a pathway back, and he just kind of wants to see what his options are. I think with everybody having agents these days, you really don't have to do that. You don't have to go in the portal to find out what your fair market value is. There's a lot of people out there that do what's called pre-portaling, A lot of those agents reach out to people and they'll say, hey, if Steve Robertson were to go in the portal, would you guys have interest? Well, here's some magic words, right? I can't specifically speak about Steve, but if there is a player of his caliber that was available in the portal, we'd have interest in them. And here is what we'd probably offer them. And so it's all a hypothetical.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Medical, right? But that's how it works, right? Now, one of the things that I've learned talking to college baseball coaches here in the last couple days is that there's not a lot of people that really care about that anymore. Now, I think with this new college sports commission, people will probably need to start caring a little bit more. And just because of the fact there's a new sheriff in town, there's a new arm of the enforcement staff of the NCAA, and they say that there are going to be much more severe penalties for tampering and the rev share piece and things like that. And I'm told there are some schools out there, Mississippi State, not one of them, but I'm told there are some schools within our league that are overcommitted in rev share. And there are penalties for that, right? But because of the fact that Ace Reese negotiated and settled his deal in advance of the house settlement, his deal with us, the rules of the house settlement don't apply, if that makes sense, right? Because he got the deal done before the judge ruled, his deal was basically in the NIL era rules. And as you guys know, that was a little more like the Wild Wild West. And so anybody that approached him after that would have to construct a deal that complied with the house settlement regulations. And from what I understand from people close to the situation, it was going to be extremely difficult for them to even get anywhere close to what his financial compensation is expected to be at Mississippi State. At the end of the day, when all this business stuff is kind of behind us, I think it's important to understand this was not a cash grab, as some people tried to kind of make it out to be. The reality of it is Ace came to this decision within days of Brian O'Connor being hired. And so, and listen, if Ace has a good agent, and I know who his agent is, but I don't know him personally, I don't have a relationship, but Ace's agent, I'm sure, is like, hey, this is the right thing to do, right? This is, before we get into this new house settlement stuff, this is you're not going to get a better deal. And so I'm sure there was probably like a sense of urgency, you know, right? A sense of urgency to kind of like, hey, we need to get a deal done. And if you're Ace Reese, it's like, okay, let me get it done. And then, and again, it's just my opinion, okay? Please understand, this is my opinion. My own speculation. But he's having to make a deal, and he doesn't even know the coaching staff, right? He knows Justin Parker, but you got Kevin McMullen coming in, a new hitting coach. Hey, does his hitting philosophy jive with my hitting philosophy and kind of what's been successful for me? Brian O'Connor is a name that I know, but I don't really know him. I've had a little interaction with him and, you know, my exit meeting and things of that nature, but, you know, I don't really know him. And you got to think, too, there's a lot of coaches out there that would love to have had Ace Reese. He didn't really know them either. And so I think really at the end, and this is kind of based on some sourced information, I think in the end, Ace just needed to know for sure. Needed to know for sure that he was at the right place and that this was the best decision for his career. And Brian O'Connor said that last night to me, not specifically about Ace, but he said everybody has to make their own decision for their own reason. And you can't take that stuff personally, right? I think about, we had a young man in the portal that we were recruiting, a defensive lineman. I can't remember his name. And it's really not important. But, hey, you know, we met him. What we felt, obviously, was an opportunity, you know, for him to make a little money and play college football in the SEC. He told me, I didn't put it in the interview, but he told me, I'm probably going to end up at this school because they're offering me a little bit more. And the reality of it is it wasn't for him. It was for his family. Because he had a father that was disabled and a mom that was just kind of a paycheck-to-paycheck employee. And so every dime that he made, he was sending back to his family. And so when you look at it in that aspect, it's like, you know what, I kind of get it. And God bless the young man for doing that, right? And there's a lot of people out there, that's what they're dealing with, right? Everything they do is not just to advance their own wealth. There are a lot of people out there, young people, that are helping support their families. Really not so much in baseball. But the reality of it is, there's a lot to all of this. I'd like to share with you two breaking news. Drew Weyers from Bryant has committed to Mississippi State. There's your other shortstop, right? So you're getting this as I'm getting this. Drew Weyers, 6'2", 200-pound senior shortstop by way of Columbus, New Jersey, from North Burlington County Regional High School. Wow. Transferred from the Manhattan Jaspers. We know them. Played one season for them. This is like incredible. He goes from Stetson to Manhattan to Bryant and out of Mississippi State. We were just talking about, you know, some guys move around a good bit. But, yeah, you needed a second shortstop. He got good year. He had 407 last year for Bryant. 11 doubles, 11 home run, 50 RBI. Walked 26 times. Struck out just 17. Also had 9 stolen bases. Yeah, that'll play, right? But, yeah, an interesting guy for sure. But, yeah, again, you guys are getting it as I'm getting it. In the sophomore year at Manhattan, he was an all-MAC selection at third base. And at Stetson, he played third base. But made to move to shortstop this year. Interesting, to say the least. But, you know, he's just kind of listed as an infielder. You know, could be a guy that factors in at second. Who knows? Could be a guy that factors in at third. Who knows? But, yeah, he's listed as a shortstop in the database that I'm looking at. But either way, another piece to the puzzle is now in place. Now, kind of back to some of this H3 stuff, too. Knowing Ace and his family the way that I do, right, and it's not that we hang out and go to rock concerts together, but I've had multiple conversations in person with Aaron and Christina Reese all throughout the year. I can tell you that they're happy here, that they enjoy the baseball social circles, and they've gotten really close with a lot of our baseball parents, and that's a great group of people. I can assure you of that. And it's difficult at the end of the year when guys graduate and transfer and things of that nature, but Aaron and Christina Reese are great people. Great people. And as is Ace. And I remember last year, I had written an article, and I had miscalculated Ace's age, and I thought he was going to be a draft-eligible sophomore. And Christina messages me and says, nope, he's not draft-eligible. You're stuck with him for 2 years. And it's kind of funny looking back at that in hindsight. But the thing that I go back to with Ace, and I had a Major League Baseball scout mention this to me when it happened. You know, when all this first kind of bubbled up, the first discussions, and these discussions about Ace potentially transferring began in season, long before Chris Simonis was fired. And I'm not saying they started with him, but there were a lot of rumors out there that multiple schools in the SEC were going to make a run at Ace Reese. Now, the thing that I would say about that, too, is we are Mississippi State. Okay, now you might come get us when it comes to football occasionally. You might come get us when it comes to basketball. But, you know, the chances of us just kind of sitting back and letting you punk us in baseball, not going to happen. Not going to happen. But I go back and look at this freshman year at Houston last year. You know, Ace last year, limited, right, played 48 games, but he was somewhat limited. He had 7 jacks and 34 RBI. And everybody's like, okay, he's decent. I had some pro scouts tell me Ace Reese is a guy that could potentially be a first rounder. And that was, we trumpeted that all in the offseason when people were like, oh, we didn't get any big portal guys. I said, guys, Ace Reese is going to be a star. And in those of you that came out for fall ball, it didn't take you long to be convinced. Ace put on a show. And then he goes out this year, plays in 57 games for Mississippi State, has 21 home runs and 66 RBI. Also had a triple. and played the last 2 months of the season with a bum foot. Or a couple times this year, late in the year, he probably could have stretched it into a triple if he'd have been healthy. And I think that's one of those things, too, that people kind of forget sometimes. You know, these guys are human, too. But as the scout told me, if you're Ace Reese, he goes, you know, if I was Ace's advisor, I would say, you know what, why would you want to mess with any of this? Right? I mean, you've gone to Mississippi State. Your home run input has tripled. Your RBI has nearly doubled. You're a household name in a Southeastern Conference. You're a five-time All-American. And you're going to be the face of that program. So why would you risk going somewhere else, different hitting backgrounds, different stadium, different teammates, potentially a different approach? You know, maybe you get there and they're like, hey, we don't want him playing third. We're going to move him to the outfield. We just wanted to tell him that to get him here. You don't know that. So, and there's, don't think that doesn't happen. It does. In recruiting, there are a lot of people that'll just tell you what you want to hear to get you there. Once you get signed, you know, I remember you, how many high school quarterbacks have I seen over the years that, oh, I'm going to play on the college level, and they go, and after one practice, they move them to receiver. You know, it happens all the time. And so I think when you look at what Ace Reese has accomplished and you think about, hey, if he can be anywhere close to that next year, if he can give you anything comparable to that next year, he's probably one of the top 15 picks in a draft. And so it kind of goes back to the old adage, if it ain't broke, why fix it? And I think that at the end of the day, Ace just needed to have a comfort level with the staff to feel like, okay, all right, he loves the place, and he'll tell you that. Loves Starkville. He's had a great experience, made some great friends. You guys have made him feel wanted here. You know, you guys bring your kids up after ball games. Hey, Ace, can we get a picture? You know, Ace Reese is a much bigger deal at Mississippi State than he was at Houston. He has matured as a player and a person at Mississippi State. And O'Connor kind of spoke to that, too. He said, you know, I have earned a lot of respect for Ace and how he's handled this process. I've learned a lot about him. And he goes, a guy like him that's already that talented, that kind of is very cerebral about this, to look at every aspect of this before making a decision and not just, you know, going about it in a lazy way. He goes, that's a guy that you want to empower to lead your team. And I think it's one of those things, too, where I don't know how you guys felt in the dating world. I wanted somebody to pick me. Like, I don't want to get anybody by default. I don't want any player here at Mississippi State, in any sport, that is here because they didn't have other options. I want guys that have options. I want coaches that have options. And again, it's one of those things, too, we talked about the optics on the last show. You know, like, you bring in all this, you know, new staff and this new energy into the program, you make this investment, and how bad it would feel and how bad it would suck if Ace Reese had left us. Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore. But the last week, I can tell you, it has been absolutely emotionally exhausting for us. So you can only begin to imagine how it's been for Ace and his family, the Mississippi State coaches. You know, there are a lot of people involved in all this, and I can tell you, all's well that ends well, but my hope is that Brian O'Connor, and really, my hope might not even be the right word. I think my confidence is that Brian O'Connor is going to build a program that is somewhat bulletproof when it comes to this kind of thing, because he's going to have guys that he has the benefit of building a relationship with over a longer period of time. Right, and I think that's an important aspect. If you talk to his former players, man, they swear by him. Stephen Schock messaged me and said, "Hey, you know, you guys have got a great one. You're going to love him." Interviewing Aiden Teal yesterday, you know, he's like, "There's nobody in the world I'd rather play for." And he talked to James Nunley, same thing. He went to Virginia to play for Brian O'Connor. All due respect to Virginia, he didn't just pick Virginia because of Virginia baseball. He picked Virginia because of the architect of Virginia baseball. And so he's following him. He talks about Coach McMullen and things of that nature. And Bryce Chance made a comment yesterday. He goes, man, if you talk to some of these guys in Virginia, they would die for Coach O'Connor. And so I think you just got to give Coach O'Connor some time to build these relationships, to let these guys kind of get to know him a little bit. And, I mean, listen, you think about, I mean, your own life. I mean, how many times have you gone through a situation where your supervisor gets promoted or takes another job or gets fired, right, or retires? And you bring in somebody new because we all have some adverse feelings about change. And even if you decide to kind of stick it out, every one of us at some point, when that's happened to us, when our supervisor has been replaced for one reason or another, we thought, you know what, maybe I should leave. Maybe I should leave. Think about it. You've done it. And sometimes it may be for the betterment. I mean, you right? They may be bringing in a better leader, but maybe you don't know that yet. And so I would just encourage you, not to judge Ace Reese by standards you're not willing to judge yourself by. But at the end of the day, I'm thrilled that Ace is back. I'm thrilled that Aaron and Christina are back. And she messaged me yesterday, we can't wait to be back. You know what, Christina? We can't wait for you to come back either. We get to know these people, and they are part of our family. And I know it's kind of become the kind of the angsty claim, it's not really a family with a portal. But in many respects, it still is. And you and I are a family because we're always here. But when we have these people, we get used to seeing them, and they become kind of part of the scenery and the fabric of our lives. Even for just a short time, you feel a connection to them. And not to mention how incredibly hurtful would it have felt like if Ace had gone to LSU, or Texas, and stayed within the league. It'd be one thing if he left us and went to Arizona, right? But he didn't. So we don't have to deal with that aspect of it. And again, as Kendall Rogers said yesterday, and they're already projecting State to be an 8 for Omaha. And again, we're not even done with roster composition just yet. But when you begin to think about all of what, bringing in, Thomas Valinkas, that's a weekend guy right there. David Hickson, you bring him in. If he survives the draft, he's a weekend guy for you too. And then you got Charlie Foster and you got Ryan McPherson. You're beginning to kind of see things come together. But it's going to be the balance of this month. We still got some things that we got to deal with, right? We still got the draft. And the draft will probably change our needs roster-wise a little bit. As I wrote earlier today, I think it'll be at least a half dozen guys who get drafted and signed. Between signees, portal guys, and returners, I think it's a real possibility. I'd say at least 6, maybe more than that. And so how that impacts you, and of course, you know what the Parker brothers are going to do now. Right? I mean, you know it, right? So I expect that we'll lose those guys, but Landon Harmon too. But so you're already kind of preparing for that, and you'll adjust if it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to go. But this portal process is probably going to take us into fall enrollment. You know what I mean? Like, I think it'll be something that we do. We'll readjust and pivot based on kind of what happens in a draft. And, of course, with Wires coming on today, that's, one less thing to think about. But, again, he's a senior guy. He's draft eligible. We'll see what happens with him. But I think it's safe to say that Brian O'Connor is going to put the best possible product on the field this year. And it's going to be one that I think makes you proud. And so, if we discussed it last year. If you were thinking about giving up your tickets, aren't you glad you didn't now? Right? There were so many people, I'm just going to cancel my tickets. Aren't you glad you didn't? And it was a difficult stretch for a while, for sure. But I think most of you feel like kind of the dark cloud has been lifted. And now we can just kind of get back and relaxing. We don't have to talk about, hey, we need to make a coaching change. We don't have to feel that way anymore. We can have this unbridled exuberance about Mississippi State baseball again. And I think that's a great thing. All right, so it's an obvious one today. Our player of the day, obviously, is Ace Reese. Yeah, it's Ace. And the player of the day is brought to you by Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair Chandler has been in the mortgage industry 24 years. If you're looking to purchase or refinance a home, look no further than Blair Chandler. He's one of us. I can tell you, he's been biting his nails and living with bated breath awaiting this Ace Reese decision. Because he rides a wave of emotion just like you and I do. And so I like to keep business in the family, and I hope that you do too. And Blair is a big part of our family. Get his 24 years of knowledge and expertise working for you. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Thus, the name Close with Blair. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, hit him up directly. That number goes right to him, not through a call center or receptionist. That is his personal cell number. Be sure and use it for your mortgage loan origination needs. All right, time for today's top 10 list. I feel like this is Ace Reese Day, and it certainly should be. Brought to you by Kalito Guitars. I had people recently hit me up. Hey, Steve, what's the name of that guitar shop? It's Kalito Guitars, C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. Based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. It's a Mississippi State-owned and operated company. They want your business. They're willing to give you some incentive to get it too. Whether you're looking for a beginning guitar or professional guitar or anything in between, electric, acoustic, classical guitars, you can find it all. And all the accessories, you can get a guitar case, a gig bag, anything you need guitar related. I got a great guitar stand from them, which I love. And you don't need your guitar leaning up against the wall. Don't do it. It'll bow the neck. I'm just telling you, you're not going to be happy with how it sounds. You got to protect your instrument. Get the stand, get the case, put it up so it's safe. Now, Kalito Guitars, Bulldogs through and through. If you make a purchase from them and give you the promo code BSR, just mention BSR to them, you're going to get 10% off your purchase, whether you do it in person, online, or over the phone. 10% off your purchase. No shipping. And no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, 5% donation made to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. What a great deal. I wish more businesses operated in this way. Don't you? Some other Mississippi State businesses. You know, they sponsor the show. They're trying to make sure that you guys are well informed about Mississippi State sports. So why not pay them back by making a purchase at a discounted price? You get the Ken Folks discount just by listening to this show. Again, promo code BSR at KalitoGuitars.com. All right, so here we go. Top 10 Ace songs. Ace. Not top 10 is from the band, but top 10 Ace songs. There'll be Ace somewhere in the song. Or in the artist. Right? Or in the lyrics. We'll start with George Strait's Ace in a Hole. Maybe you guys are familiar with that. We hadn't done a lot of George Strait on the show. But that's, you know, that's true country. That's old school country, as you guys are well aware. But that's a good place to start. You know, it just makes a lot of sense for us to start there. I don't know how much country music Ace Reese listens to. You know, he's got the Bee Gees as his walkout, you know. And as he says, you can tell by the way he uses his walk, he's a woman's man, no time to talk. You know, maybe that's a message. Maybe he's not a country music guy. I don't know, but we'll work in some George Strait today in honor of Ace. You know, I think you guys all can appreciate that. Number 9, probably a band you don't know well, and I've actually asked my oldest son to help me kind of figure out this guitar part because I've wanted to cover the song since I was 16 years old, man. I did. It's a band called Vain out of California. They had a great debut album called No Respect. And the single was Beat the Bullet. Maybe you're familiar with that. You know, I get down on my knees praying to the Lord that I beat the bullet. You know, it's raunchy guitar tone and things of that nature. It's just a different dynamic. But there's a great song called Aces, because I'm holding all the aces in my hands. That's right. You kind of feel that way right now, right? It's like, hey, you know, we're sitting here on a good hand. We feel pretty good about where life has taken us. So, hey, that's where we are with that. So Vane's Aces off the debut album, No Respect. And if you like that late 80s, early 90s kind of sleaze rock, this is the way to go. Right? This is like in the Faster Pussycat tree, if you guys are unfamiliar. Kind of change gears a little bit. How about Ace of Base? You had to know that was coming, right? And you probably think you know what song is coming to. You're wrong. because I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the catalog, even though it was a big hit for them. And a lot of people kind of compared Ace of Base to like a modern-day ABBA, and maybe they were. Maybe that's a fair assessment. But we're going to go with Beautiful Life, and that's kind of how it feels, right? You get some good news, and you feel great about life. And now you're thinking, now how many of you have been thinking, you know what, I can't wait for baseball to start? I see some posts out there on social media and our message boards. It's like, I'm just kind of ready to get to baseball season. Guys, I wish we could suit up and play tomorrow, you know. And that's an incredible aspect of this thing, too. There's just some exuberance and some life in this program right now that's maybe been lacking for a little while. And I know you guys probably share in that, too. So Beautiful Life from Ace of Base, number 8. Now, I told you guys we would get the band Ace on here. I don't know if we could put a top 10 together with them, to be honest with you. Not that the catalog is extensive enough. They had a huge hit, though. And I think it's probably something I could pull off vocally, I think. But it's How Long? You know, and it's basically about a guy confronting his significant other. You know, how long has this been going on? Yeah. LSU, tell us. How long has this been going on? Number 6, again, kind of changing gears a little bit. It's Paul Simon's The Late Great Johnny Ace. And the guitar tone on this is very good. Like, it's clean. Like, when you listen to the introduction, and Paul Simon, probably an underappreciated guitar player. And a lot of people kind of see him as a more serious artist. He has some silly stuff, too, like, you know, You Could Call Me Al. But The Late Great Johnny Ace, probably an underappreciated song that you don't know from the Paul Simon catalog. Number 5. I have purposely not done a lot of songs from this band, and I'll tell you why. It's not that I don't like them. I don't love them. But when they were given the Grammy for being the best metal act over Metallica, it just kind of jaded me a little bit towards Jethro Tull. It did. And they got some weird songs, too, and I don't know how I feel about that flute, you know, to be honest with you. But great track called Old Aces Die Hard. And there's plenty of flute in there, if you're so inclined. Number 4, another one of these great Charlie Daniels songs that kind of tells a story. Everybody knows the devil went down to Georgia because he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. Everybody knows it. Well, there's another one called Stroker's Theme, and it's about Stroker Ace, who was a race car driver, right? And there was a movie, Stroker Ace, but this was Stroker's Theme, and Charlie Daniels put together a nice little song for us. Now, I think our top 3, after you hear me kind of explain what they are and why they're here, I think we'll all agree. We may not agree on the order, though. I think many of you thought this would be number 1, and I could make a case that it should be, but it's not. It's Iron Maiden's Ace is High. I used to have that shirt, man. If I could find it again, I would buy it. And I've checked the Iron Maiden official website multiple times, and every time they have it in stock, it's like my size is gone right away. I'm just not going to wear a shirt that's too big or too small. I'm sure you're happy about that. But I'm not going to walk around Starkville looking like I'm wearing my little brother's shirt. Not going to happen. But I had that Aces High shirt, man. It was that charcoal gray, and that Aces High cover was great. And the guitar on this is incredible, too. And Bruce Dickinson, of course, the legendary Bruce Dickinson, the cock of the walk, baby, belting out an incredible vocal. Aces High from Iron Maiden. Number 2, the guy that got me into all of this, right? If you want to blame somebody, and I've met him, and I had a chance to see him in Tupelo, opening for Alice Cooper. It's Ace Frehley. And I've got the Ace Frehley Space Ace shirt, you know, kind of like the solo album cover. But after Ace left the music business for a while, and he had some alcoholism to deal with and things of that nature, and, you know, there was all this on-again, off-again relationship with Kiss. And when he left Kiss, I'll be honest with you, it was hard for me to accept the new lineup. It bothered me because Ace was my favorite guy. I love everybody in Kiss when I was a kid. And I remember watching Phantom of the Park or whatever it was. And I thought those guys were superheroes, man. I did. I loved Kiss. And, you know, I lived, of course, in the Bible Belt. We had so much, you know, you can't listen to Kiss. It's devil's music. It stands for Knights and Satan's Service. And, you know, There's a lot of things that we can do. We can mislabel a lot of things because we're scared of them. And it's so interesting. I remember a couple of years ago, Paul Stanley tweeted out, you know, why is going to the club more important than going to church? What's wrong with living life with a code, you know? And but anyway, Ace leaves KISS, kicked out of KISS. I was bitter. And Ace comes back. And I love Ace. I love Ace's music. I think he is an underappreciated guitar player. And listen, back in those in the 70s, there wasn't like the technical metal sound. That's kind of what happened with Ace too, that like there were a lot of guitar players that kind of built upon the foundation of which rock music was created. And guys got to be a little more technical. You know, Randy Rhoads comes in and changes the game, right? Everybody started studying classical music to get better and get on the fretwork. Eddie Van Halen changes the game. But Ace came back and Rock Soldiers. And I started to play a segment of this to open the show, but I couldn't download a solid sonic clip. But I love it. It says, Rock Soldiers, how do we know? Because Ace is back and he told you so. It's great. I'm almost strapped up and played that part. But Rock Soldiers from Ace Frehley, number two on your list. But number one, it's probably because I could jump up and down in this house right now with excitement. And I remember playing this whole rock band with my kids, and I used to jump around the room just because I wanted to be silly and have fun with my kids. But it's Ace of Spades, Motorhead. That's right. And I read something online a while back. Somebody was trying to say that it was a cover. It's not a cover. There have been some other songs entitled Ace of Spades, and there have been a lot of people that have covered Motorhead's Ace of Spades, but Lemmy Kilmister didn't need to borrow music from anybody else, God rest his soul. But Motorhead, and some of you young bucks too, like you want to put some, you know, some hair on your chest, you know what I mean? It's like, listen, I get it, man. We had the Revlon Rockers of the 80s, and some of them were super cool, right? But if you really want to go back and listen to it, like a band that influenced a bunch of those bands, it was really more about music and attitude than they were image, it's Motorhead. And I think you'll appreciate, not just the bass line, but some of those guitar riffs with Motorhead were so great. And I love all the up-tempo stuff. I know you guys do too. That's your number one track on Top 10 Ace Songs, Ace of Spades from Motorhead. I think you'll dig it if you don't already know it, and play it and think about Ace Reese hitting the home run to beat LSU. How about that? All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have the things we want, and that's more Mississippi State merch. My birthday is coming up tomorrow. If you are thinking about buying me something, number one, you know, cash is always a wonderful gift, but if you want to be thoughtful and just go pick out something for me, yeah, I'm an XL, and you can hook me up at Campus Bookmart. Every Bulldog on your shopping list, whether it be for birthday or holidays or whatever, they want more Mississippi State merchandise. And let's support a Starkville business that has been there for us for decades now, right? They always have the latest in Mississippi State apparel, great gift ideas, and everything you need to detail out your fan cave. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. I get a complimentary hug when I go in, but maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe you've got a different experience. We'll see. But if you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them online at campusbookmart.net. We'll give you some incentive, a promo code of BSR. You know it well. Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones. Absolutely incomplete. Again, that's campusbookmart.net. Okay, we move along to their opponent preview, Texas A&M. And let's go back and kind of look at what happened last year with them. There was a stretch there where we felt like, you know, A&M could win this thing and get into the playoffs. And they could win the league. You know, they opened up, close loss to Notre Dame. At Kyle Field, it was a fun game to watch. That was August 31st. And Notre Dame was a top 10 team. And I think everybody felt like, you know, we expected Notre Dame to win. But give Elko and the guys some credit. They made it a competitive game. Well, then they come back and blast McNeese State, as you'd expect, 52-10. And then they go to Florida. And we knew this was a crucial game for both teams. A&M goes to Florida and beats them 33-20. And then that's when everybody's like, Billy Napier's got to be fired, right? There were a bunch of people that were already on that ship, and they began to kind of rock the boat a little bit. The Aggies come back the next week and have to escape against Bowling Green 26-20. And guys, what's crazy about that is they had to score in the fourth quarter. Yeah, pretty impressive situation here. It's 20-17 going to the fourth. And A&M finds a way to make it work. You know, they kick a couple of field goals, and then late in the game, Bowling Green kicks a field goal in A&M territory, obviously. But then people are like, well, you know what, maybe we're not as good as we thought. Well, then one of my favorite games of the year is always A&M in Arkansas. They play it in Jerry World. It's a lot of fun. It's usually a very competitive game. It was last year. The Aggies win that game 21-17. And then they absolutely destroy Missouri, who was a top 10 team at the time. They absolutely beat the Tigers to death, 41-10. 11 a.m. in the October sun, A&M kind of proved that, hey, they're better than we thought. They come to Davis-Wade, and maybe you've kind of blocked that out from your mind, but this was a game. This was a great game for a half. After one, it's a 7-7 game. At the break, it's 21-17. And we're thinking, you know what, hey, if we just find a way to get a stop here or there, we can really make this thing happen. We can upset the apple cart. They kick a field goal, and then we don't answer. And then lo and behold, after a turnover, they go right on in and score and make it a two-score game. But we didn't give up. We come back and make it 31-24. And so in the fourth quarter, it is a one-score game. And then we give up a field goal, you know, midway through the fourth to kind of cap the scoring. But, you know, the Bulldogs were in the game. And so, again, everybody's like, I just don't think these guys are for real. Well, then they beat LSU, who was number 8 at the time, 38-23. And at that point, they controlled their own destiny. They could do whatever they wanted to do. They were undefeated in the league. They'd already had a couple of top 10 wins. And you're thinking, you know what? Mike Elko's got the Aggies rolling. They're going to be fine. And what do? They go to South Carolina and lay an absolute turd and get beat 44-20. Craziness, right? It's tough to go play at Williams-Brice Stadium, and it was a night game, and you know how wild it was. The LED lights were going. The pom-poms were shaking. It was crazy. And South Carolina's like, you know, not in our house. And then all of a sudden, things got a little complicated for A&M. They get New Mexico State. They go to Auburn and lose a barn burner that goes four OTs. They lose to Auburn 43-41. And at that point, it really felt like, well, this is all over and done with. And just to make matters worse, they host Texas at Kyle Field for the first time in forever, and they lose 17-7. And then they go to play USC in Vegas, in the Vegas Bowl, and get beat 35-31. And so, you know, you end the year on a three-game losing streak and losing four out of five. And so a lot of people are like, you know what, this isn't what we signed on for. Especially when we get through what we thought was the meat part of our schedule, and you don't have, you know, you only got one ranked opponent left, and you feel like, hey, we just gotta hold serve here. And rather than winning three of the last four, you lose three of the last four of the regular season. It doesn't work out well for you. Now let's look at this year's schedule. And again, many of you were in attendance, not all of you, but many of you were in attendance last year. We played them, and it's just like, you know, kind of let that one get away. They'll open up this year against Texas San Antonio. The Roadrunners will be in there August the 30th. It'll be a night game, so if you're so inclined after our game, you can get home and watch that. They get Utah State and Kyle Field the next week, and then they go to Notre Dame, which will be difficult. It's going to be another night game. And so you're going to open up with three non-conference games, and one of them is a real challenge. So you're probably 2-1, I think, before you host Auburn. And this is a big year for Hugh Freeze, as you guys know. He's got to win this year. And then they play Mississippi State. And so they have a stretch there after they go to Notre Dame where they're going to host three consecutive home games against what will probably be unranked opponents. If they're going to be for real, they got to get it done. You got Auburn, you got Mississippi State, and then you got Florida. You got to make hay while the sun is shining if you're Mike Elko. Then you have the game against Arkansas. Then you got to go to Baton Rouge. Then you got to go to Missouri. Then South Carolina comes in. And then you get that last non-conference game against Samford ahead of the trip to Darryl K. Royal Stadium for the Friday evening game against Texas. And so you look at this and say, you know what, this is actually a pretty manageable schedule. Outside of the road game to Notre Dame, which, you know, if it was in Kyle Field, maybe you feel a little bit different about it. But as an SEC schedule goes, this one works out pretty good. Which game do you look at and say this is a sure loss? Well, I would say the trip to LSU is a game you're probably expected to lose, even though A&M has had some success down there. And then the game to Texas. So that's the two that I look at and say, you know what, these are sure losses. But in true A&M fashion, every year they lose a game or two they're not expected to. So I think probably the ceiling for this team is 9-3. Right? And that's including that loss at Notre Dame. But at home, they should be able to get things done. But again, it's kind of been tradition for A&M to drop a game somewhere along the way that doesn't make a lot of sense. So we'll peg them at 8-4. And it'll be interesting to kind of see what this team looks like by the time we play them. They active in the transfer portal like everybody else, right? Everybody else, you know, they're expected to be really good on defense, and they typically are. You know, and with Elko there, I suspect defensively there'll be a team that is consistently among the top half of the teams in the league when it comes to defensive play. I think that's what you'd expect as well, too. The offensive line is really good. So they should be able to run the football with great success. I don't think anybody expects anything different. Makes a lot of sense. You know, just it seems that A&M, Texas, you know, they have a lot of guys that grow up in their state that play offensive line. So you'd expect them to consistently be able to put good offensive lines on the field. It's so incredible, though, when you think about, you know, how many quarterbacks have taken snaps there. You know, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how things go. But, you know, Marcel Reed at times last year was an exciting player for them. Looks like it'll be his job. You know, we'll see. Got to get a little bit better, I guess. You know, they did hit the portal. Got brought in Jacob Zeno, so we'll see how that goes. But I think Reed's probably the heir apparent there. Mario Craver is there. And I will be honest with you. I think it's a weird fit. There's a couple reasons why. Number one, you know, it's a run-first offense. It'd be different if he left us and went, you know, to a pass-happy scheme. That would make a lot of sense. This one doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. He is not the most big and physical guy, so I think he is going to struggle at times to block on the perimeter. Not to mention, too, he's going to a defense-first type program. A&M is not a team that has really prided itself on explosive offense. It's always been kind of a run-first, defensive-minded deal. It just has been. Even when Jimbo was there. That's what they did. That's what they were known for. And things didn't work out well. He had the one big year in 2020. That's pretty much it. And so I think it's an interesting fit. I don't think Mario will replicate what he did at Mississippi State on the field. I hope he doesn't replicate what he did off the field. I hope he gets it together. Casey Concepcion was another guy that State chased a little bit too. And another upgrade for the Aggies there. Transfers in from NC State. was one of the top receivers in the portal, no question about it. So that'll be interesting, right? And again, we talked about the offensive line, but you know, it's so interesting. You know, Le'Veon Moss is a guy I like a lot, but he's had trouble staying healthy. When he's healthy, though, he has been electric. You know, so we'll see how things go with him. And wish him the best, right? You know, and I think, again, Mike Elko is a guy, too, that is always going to be solid on defense. I don't think they're going to have these big letdowns. I think that their defense will keep them in games. You know, that defensive line, kind of a new-look group. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how things go. Again, they hit the portal and brought in T.J. Searcy. You know, that's a guy, obviously, that has knowledge of the league. But we'll see how that kind of comes together. Yeah, and linebackers always going to be part of the deal there. Scooby Williams, a name that most people know. The secondary was a bit of a Achilles heel for these guys last year, that they believe they've addressed that in the portal. And so we'll see how that goes. But, you know, when you start thinking about kind of what's coming back for them, you know, they've lost some pieces. Again, to me, that kind of justifies the prediction of 8-4. It just makes good sense to me. Maybe you guys see a little bit differently. But again, that schedule is somewhat favorable. So if they can get some semblance of rhythm, they could be a team that kind of makes this thing interesting. I don't think they're good enough to get to the playoff. I don't think they're good enough to get to the SEC championship game. But the schedule itself is very manageable. So I think it'll be another one of those years where everything seems to be good but not great. You know, and Elko's a guy too at Duke that kind of figured some things out with offense when he was there. You know, they were pretty good on defense, but let's be honest, you know, recruiting to Duke and recruiting to A&M, you're going to get a different brand of athlete at A&M. It just kind of is what it is. And again, great hire, and he was the – you know, it's, you know, I say it's never the first name. You know, he was the first name, and everybody said, oh, no, they're kind of moving on from this. And then they kind of circle back after there was discussions about Ross Bjork hiring the interim. Maybe you've remembered that. I don't know. But it's so interesting to look at these other teams. And again, I don't like the placement on the schedule too much just because of the fact that I'd love for them to be, you know, coming back home or going on the road after us and or have somebody around us that's going to require a big emotional investment. Just don't think that's going to happen. And so I think, again, that stretch will probably define their season. Probably the difference in a Tennessee and a Florida bowl game. I think you guys probably agree. But, you know, when you got Marcel Reed back there, you know, he can make plays when things break down. And that's probably one of those things that a lot of teams maybe see as a luxury. You know, when you've got the wrong play call, you've got a guy that can make the right play for you. It's all part of the deal. But Reed last year threw for 1,864 yards. Moss ran for 765. You know, Connor Wegman, of course, you know, got banged up. And this hasn't been what they needed him to be. Le'Veon Moss, we talked about him. I really like him a lot. And Marcel Reed, I think, takes some pressure off of him. Amari Daniels, obviously, was a part of things last year, too. They had to kind of renovate the wide receiver room. But that defense did lose some pieces. And again, linebackers are back, and of course they kind of revamped the secondary. But when you think about, like, that Nix Gordon kid that transferred in there from Purdue that ended up being an absolute monster for them, you know, how do you replace him? You know, that's one of the bigger questions to me, is how do you replace those guys? You know, Albert Regis or Regier, depending on where you're from, guy in the middle, expecting some big things from him. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is a good team, not a great team. And we've had some success going down there, but, you know, I don't know. I'm probably picking a loss right now because of placement on the schedule, but, of course, we'll revisit that when we get a little closer. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, what shape both teams are going to be in by the time we get there. All right, final segment of the show, and it's going to be a brief one. brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're unfamiliar with the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you need to familiarize yourself with them. It's the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. We stayed there for New Year's and had an absolute blast. I think you will too. So if you're bringing a large group to Starkville, and you certainly should, rather than go out there and get five hotel rooms or five different Airbnbs and being scattered all over the county, why not keep everybody under one roof? I can assure you, Mom wants that and Dad does too. You want the kids and the grandkids together so everybody can make some memories together. Life is short, death is certain. Let's be sure that we spend more time together. We always say it, we don't get together enough, and then we never fix it. So this is your chance to fix it. Be the linchpin in your friend or family group. You make the plans, check availability, and say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to go to the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Whether it's a ball game weekend, some vacation time that you can use in midweek when Starkville's not quite as busy, it's a great time to come to town, enjoy some of your favorite restaurants. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page comes up, and you can peruse all of the amenities available to you and your guest. That's super cool, right? The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. Six bedrooms, three baths. Super cool place. Again, we stayed there. I can't recommend it enough. Booking options come up, Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want to, but I recommend the Evolve website, and I'll give you some incentive to choose them. Promo code BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. Be sure and check it out today. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. I want to commend some people too. And many of you know who you are. You don't need me to name you. But we have had some people that have really stepped up here as of late, kind of financially for Mississippi State. But in addition to that too, that have lent their expertise to our athletic department to kind of move some of these projects forward. And it takes all of us, and I love it when we have an opportunity to throw business to other Mississippi State people. I think that's important. But you have some Bulldogs around you that really want to be anonymous. You know, they just want to do the right thing for Mississippi State. And I understand we're closing in on a couple of other rather significant financial gifts. Some of those, of course, will go towards the construction of the Howard Center, which the Howard Performance Center, which I think is incredible. But we've had some baseball donors kind of step up too, you know. And I can't say enough about some of our basketball donors. We probably need more of them, to be quite frank with you. We've got some basketball donors that every time that we need something, they're very generous with their money and willing to write a check. And so I encourage you, when you know these people, whether you don't need to shout them out, but if you know them, make sure they know how much we all appreciate it. Because so much of that is nameless and thankless because people don't want to draw attention to themselves. There's a lot of people that run business and they're like, hey, I don't want it to be known that I made a big gift to Mississippi State because of the fact that I want to do business on both sides of the rivalry, and I completely understand that. But you know some of these people. And I encourage you, whenever possible, to frequent a Mississippi State business. I like to do business with Mississippi State people, and I hope that you will as well. Because there are some big things coming for Mississippi State. And again, I'm so glad we can put this Ace Reese stuff to bed, and we can really get started. And again, you know, Jacob Pruitt, the last guy to go into the portal. And at the end of the day, I think that's probably something most people expected. I even asked about him yesterday, talking to somebody else, and I said, you know, what do you think? And he goes, well, you know, maybe he'll get healthy and make a jump, and then, you know, he's in the portal. And I think that gives him some flexibility and us some flexibility, because if he doesn't find exactly what he wants, we can always bring him back, right? I mean, we could always say, hey, Pruitt, let's run it back together. But he was not the pitcher we hoped he would be. And some of that, I truly believe, is because of the fact that he was hurt a lot. It took him a while to get going. But it's okay to be excited, right? And again, I know many of you are thinking about football season. You're like, Steve, I just can't get excited about this. I get it. But there's a reason we play the games. And again, you think about men's and women's basketball last year. Both made the tournament. We want to take the next step this year. And then, of course, new exuberance in baseball. And we could not finish out the show without a tip of the cap to Nuno Borges, who is on to the third round at Wimbledon. How cool is that, right? We got a rooting interest at Wimbledon. I used to love watching Wimbledon on HBO when we were kids, right? watching Pam Shriver and Brandon Afterlova win those doubles points, and watching Andre Agassi, you know. He became a star at the French Open and U.S. Open, and then finally agreed not to wear his denim so he could go play at Wimbledon. But it's a lot of fun, and it's nice that we have a Mississippi State person kind of repping that. I tell you, speaking of that, somebody shared a video with me yesterday. Did you guys know, and there's a TikTok out there around about it, that we had a Mississippi State graduate that was part of the Apollo team, and there was some worry that the astronauts in the capsule might run out of oxygen and smother and die in space. And the guy that figured out the workaround to fix it and then talked the astronauts through how to fix it to save their lives, a Mississippi State guy. And again, like some of those people we talked about, one of the reasons you don't know his name is just because of the fact that it was just all in a day's work for him. He did what was right, and that's a Mississippi State alum. Super cool. Abbreviated show today. Again, I'm going to get ready and go to the movies with my kids. But listen, we wish you guys the best. We're back with you on Friday for a full-service show. And be sure and check us out over at jeanspage.com. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can get signed copies of all of my sports titles there. And come float with us at Truest Floats by Starville, dial 662-268-7601. But until next time, let's all live our lives. We make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.